if you would, turn to the book of Matthew, chapter number 14. Matthew, chapter number 14, just a minute. I'm going to read the text, and then we'll come back and make some comments and begin today to deal with a subject that I believe is near and dear to everyone's heart. Not so much near and dear as we think about things being good, but the fact is we live in a day and age which things are not always so good, and we go through disappointments and heartaches and various things that happen. And we're going to be dealing with something today that I hope help us in order that we might know how to navigate through these storms of life. If you have your Bibles, beginning in verse number 22 of Matthew chapter 14, the Bible said, "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitude away. And when he had sent the multitude away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down, he came down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand, caught him, said unto him, O thou little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were coming to the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, Of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Our Father, Lord, we thank you today for the Word of God. We thank you for the privilege we have to preach it. And Lord, we do pray today that you'd speak to our hearts. Give us wisdom, strength, and help. I pray today that your name be exalted, lift up, and glorified. And we'll be sure to give you the praise, and honor, and glory for everything that's said and done here today. In Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. I don't want to spend too much time on it, but it's quite interesting. We get to that passage of Scripture, but it's hard for me to preach on that passage of Scripture without reminding you of what was just prior to that. I'm not going to read any of it, but it's the feeding of the 5,000 men. You remember the little boy with his lunch and his fishes, and the Lord had broke them up, and here they were having a great day. You ever had a great day? And I mean, things were going good. They had a great day. The disciples were excited. They'd seen what God did, and he took what little he had, fed all the people, and there was still food left over. Only God could do something like that, but that's exactly what happened. And then what happens? As Jesus was sending the multitude away, he compels them to get in a ship and go to the other side. Now, he's going to stay. We find him praying, and often that's what he was doing. But we find here, after a big event, all of a sudden, a storm arises in his life. Can I remind you today that many storms arise in our life, and most of the time, they will come after some great event or some wonderful thing that's happened. Not always, but they do sometimes occur afterward. And so, I thought it was quite interesting that we understand that. Now, when we think about storms today, we think about all the storms that we read about in the paper. Many of you remember Hugo, Katrina, and Sandy, all of them hurricanes that did a great deal of destruction. We live in an area where tornadoes are prevalent all around us, and we've been so blessed and fortunate, I believe, in our area. I know some have touched down. Some people have been killed as a result of it, but not many. We've been spared, basically, from those kind of storms. I'm not going to be talking about those kind of storms today, but I'm going to be talking about those storms in the physical world. I'm not going to be talking about that, but I'm going to talk about the storms that come in our life and what happens when they hit us. What kind of storms am I talking about? Well, first of all, it's our finances. Sometimes we're devastated in a relationship. The storm begins to strike at our hearts. It begins to affect our minds and our spirits. You know what I'm talking about, because I believe everybody here at some time or the other, you've gone through a storm. You may be going through a storm right now. But I want to share with you some things that I hope will be a help and encouragement to you. Now, notice with me, and let me say this to begin with. God does not always cause our storm. Sometimes we can cause our own storm by disobedience to the Lord. But in this particular event, we do know that God caused this storm or allowed this storm to happen because he wanted to teach the disciples something. And so with that in mind, I want you to understand that many times we go through storms And sometimes God allows that storm. God placed that storm. God put it there in order that it might bring us to the place that we need to be. Notice, if you would, in verse number 22 what it said. The Bible said, straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get onto the ship. Constrain means to compel. Literally, a little bit stronger definition of that would be to force. I don't believe they have much force. If the Lord Jesus told me to do something, I believe it would become an act of an obedience and command to him. Now, the disciples were commanded to get on the boat. Jesus did not get on the boat with them, and he told them to go to the other side. Now, in verse 24, something begins to happen. But the Bible said, but the ship was now in the midst of the sea. It was tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. Now, tossed, the word there refers to torture, pain. I'm going to tell you something. I've always been a little skittish of being out in a boat if bad weather was coming. And I wouldn't even want to think about being out there in a storm. I tell you, that'd be the last place I'd want to be. I'd want to get to shore just as quick as I could. But here the disciples find themselves in a turmoil of the waves beating against the boat. The boat is rocking, no doubt the water's lapping over. The winds were contrary, means it was against them, it opposed them. The ship is rolling in the waves, and they're facing a severe headwind. You know what happens when you try to row against a strong headwind? You don't get anywhere. It's like you're sitting in the same place for a long period of time. The disciples were certain that they were going to die in this storm. Here it was, Jesus had commanded them or compelled them and told them to get on the ship and go to the other side. And then all of a sudden, here they are facing the greatest storm they have ever experienced in their life. Have you ever been there? Perhaps you have. And if you haven't, one day you will, because the Bible teaches that we go through these things. Sometimes we get stuck in a storm. We row as hard as we can. We try to get out. We try to fix the problem. We try to do everything we can. But the problem is we do it ourselves rather than depending upon the Lord. You see, storms are never pleasant. Storms hurt us deeply. And there's some of you gone through some storms recently. And I'm going to tell you, I'm not just preaching to you this morning. I'm preaching to all of us because we're going to experience them. But I'm telling you, I can imagine what it's like to lose a mate or to go through a difficult time in your life and experience things like you've never experienced before. But when you go through that, it hurts deeply. You're devastated by it. Your life is turned upside down. It breaks our hearts. Many times the storm can even steal our health. It strips us of our most prized possession. It's our grip on the Word of God and the things of God. And literally, a storm can leave our lives in utter ruin. When we're in a storm, here's what we normally do. We forget the truth that God is working in the storm through our lives. I've learned in all the years that I've been preaching, and after that I began to study the Word of God, I found out that many times the storms that come, I've had a lot of storms in my life, and I'm not going to talk about my storms this morning, but I can tell you, I have been reminded that God was with me during the whole storm, and He was working things in my life. We don't often see the handiwork of God when we're encountering storm. When the waves batter your vessel, I want to remind you, Jesus is there. You know how I know that? Because He tells us that He'll be there. When the contrary winds threaten to drive your vessel into jagged rocks of pain and suffering, Jesus is there. You know why? Because He's promised that He'd be there. When your life seems to be in ruins, remember, no matter what you're going through, Jesus is there. And let me just stop right there and say, based on the fact that you're a child of God, I tell you, I would hate to be in a storm without the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. When your life seems in ruins, no matter what the situation you face in your life, if you're a child of God, God has promised us that He would never leave us or never forsake us if we put our trust in Him. I want to point out some facts today about encountering the storm. I want to show you how it was dealt with here in the passage of Scripture, and I believe it'll be a help to us today, hopefully, to help us in the storms of life that we go through. First of all, I want you to notice that Jesus walks in the storm. Jesus walks in the storm. Look at verse number 24. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. Consider how Jesus came to them in the storm, because how He came to them is how He'll come to us. I'm glad to know that in the middle of their storm, Jesus showed up. And I'm going to tell you, in the middle of your storm, Jesus will show up if you look for him. If you trust him, he'll do what he said he would do. Notice as we go on down and begin to read, he said there in verse 25, he came when in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. Now, the fourth watch of the night, I understand, is between about 3 and 6 a.m. in the morning. Most of us don't even know those times exist, as long as we're feeling well and sleeping good. But Jesus came in the darkest part of the night. No doubt that had to be the darkest part of the night. And that's when Jesus came to them. And he didn't just come. He came walking on the water. A miracle that we see in his life. Sometimes we see that we're trapped or feel we're trapped in the darkness of night. I hate the darkness many nights when you have a sickness in the family. One of the children, when they're small, burning up with fever. It's the longest time you'll ever experience. But could I remind you, Jesus will be there with you all the way through. I want to remind you what he said in Hebrews 13:5. He said, I will, listen, never leave thee nor forsake thee. I'm glad today when I got saved by the grace of God and God came into my life, he promised me that he'd never leave me, he'd never forsake me, he'd always be with me. But I want you to see what God's word says about the darkness. In 1 Kings 8:12, here's what Solomon said about darkness. Then spake Solomon, the Lord said that he would dwell in thick darkness. I don't know about you, but that kind of excites me. If the darkest time seems to be the hardest times, it's the times that we find that it says the Lord dwells in thick darkness. In Psalm 139, verse 11 and 12, if I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, listen, even the night shall be light about me. Let me just read that again. He said, if I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light unto me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. You know why? Because Jesus is the light. The darkest hours of our life cannot hide you from the face of God. In fact, if you're a child of God, no matter how dark it might get, you're still able to make contact and face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the disciples are in great danger. They're rowing very hard. They're toiling and rowing as hard as they possibly can. They're struggling against a storm that's literally threatening their lives, and it's threatening to destroy them. And when things look grim, you know, sometimes we begin to look around, and we wonder what's going to happen, and then all of a sudden Jesus shows up. Now, understand, when they got on that ship, God did not prevent any of them from getting on that ship. You know why? Because he had a plan. He knew exactly what was going to happen. He knew they were going into the storm. He did not prevent them, but once they got out there, he protected them. And I'm glad to know today that even though we go through trials, he may not prevent you from going through a trial. He may not prevent you from experiencing difficulty in your life, but I promise you, he will protect you in the midst of it all. What was it they feared the most? They feared the sea. And yet the Lord, he used that as an object lesson for them, the very vehicle that he used to put them on in order to teach them that he was going to take care of them and meet their needs. Regardless of what you're facing in your life today, can I tell you, Jesus is greater than anything you'll ever experience, anything that you've ever experienced. And I'm going to tell you today, all of us could say we've been through some storms, but thank God we came out on the other side. I'm glad for those words in the Bible that said, and it came to pass. But you know what? We just have to be patient. We have to wait on the Lord. He'll show us the right time. You know he's never been late for anything. He's always right on time. And it's not in our time or in our thinking, but he always shows up in his own time. The Apostle Paul went through devastating storms in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. If you remember, Paul's storm was a thorn in the flesh. And I tell you today, probably all of us, and I know many of us today, may be here and have some kind of ache or pain we're going through and experiencing. But I'm going to tell you something. We must understand that in spite of it all, even though he did not heal Paul of the thorn in his flesh, he reminded him, my grace is sufficient for thee. And I'm glad this morning to know that God's grace is sufficient to me in whatever it is that I'm going through, whatever it is I'm experiencing. And I'm going to tell you a precious verse that means so much to me through some of my storms of life, and especially we lost our son. I'm grateful today for the Romans 8:28, and I'm glad it's in the book. And we know that all things work together for the good of them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose, in order that He might, of course, conform us to His Son, and that's the whole object of what He's doing. Jesus walks in the storm, but second of all, Jesus witnesses in the storm. When Jesus came to His disciples on the water, if you would look with me at verse 25 through 27, and I won't read 25 again since I just did. Let me read 26 and 27. And when the disciples saw Him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit." And they cried out in fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." They thought He was a ghost. They thought they were seeing visions. They didn't know what it was. They cried out. They were fearful. I want you to notice three things, and I'm going to get a little bit more detail with them. But the first thing He did was speak a word of peace. He said, "Be of good cheer." The second thing, He spoke a word of power. He said, "It is I." Then He spoke a word of promise. He said, "Be not afraid." You see, the storms of life sometimes reveal the Savior to us in ways that we otherwise would not have seen Him. You know, it's amazing to me today, most people don't have need of God until they need God. You know what I mean? And again, I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I tell you, if you haven't been serving Him and haven't been loving Him, you've not been saved, and you go through a storm, it may be God trying to speak to your heart to get you to get saved and born again where He can help you. But I want you to understand today that as we go through these storms in our life, we must understand that God has promised to be there with us and to help us and guide us every step of the way. So the first thing He says to them, they see Him, they don't recognize Him, so He speaks. I got a feeling the moment He spoke, they recognized who He was. He said, "Be of good cheer." Now, if you stop and think about that, the message of peace, it means to be courageous, to have courage, to be bold. Now, friend, I'm going to be honest with you. I go through some storms in my life, and sometimes there's fear, and sometimes there's anxiety. But the only thing that takes care of my anxiety is God speaking to me. I'm grateful today that God still speaks. You say, "Well, I've not heard Him." Well, friend, I remind you this morning that He speaks in the still, small voice. And He'll speak to you if you'll listen. Here's what the Bible said, Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Again, I learned this verse just last May as I was going through my surgery that I was having in Tallahassee. I thought of this verse when I realized what was going on. Philippians 4, 6, and 7. "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." The word "keep" means to keep in a state of settlement and security. I'm glad today that God keeps us. I'm glad when I got saved, I don't have to worry about keeping my salvation. I just trust Him because I know He's going to keep it. He said, be not afraid. Don't worry about it. John 14, 27. He said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace give I unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid." The word "trouble" there means to cause emotional distress. The word "afraid" means to be cowardly or to lack of courage. Friend, I'm going to tell you, as a child of God today, we ought not act like cowards. We ought not to fear. When things come, there's nothing wrong with grieving, and there's nothing wrong with the process that we go through. But what we must understand is we have courage because we have faith in God. And the Bible said, without faith, it's impossible to please God in all that we do. So we find here that He came and He said, basically, "Cheer up, I'm here. I'm here. I'm going to take care of the needs that you have in your life." If you understand the words found in the Old Testament where He said, "I am," you'll understand the peace that we can enjoy in the midst of our trials and disappointments. Then there was a message of promise. He said, "Be not afraid." The literal statement now, and I read this, somebody said this, they said the literal statement says, you stop fearing right now, don't you ever fear again. That sounds like something my mother would tell me when I was growing up. She'd get on me. She'd say, now you stop fearing right now. Don't you ever fear again. But I tell you, when Jesus says it, it's a whole lot more powerful than when Mama said it. Although I understood what she was saying because she was there for a comfort many times. But I'm going to tell you something. The very one that possesses all power, he said, be of good cheer. Not only that, he said, it is I, basically. He came and said this. He said, I'm the I am. But you know what else he is? You know, in the scripture, he said, I'm the door. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He said, I'm the bread of life. I'm the good shepherd. Friend, truly, the words I am resonate in our hearts. He came with a message of peace, came with a message of power, but he came with a message of promise. As he approached his disciples, he said, be not afraid. Again, as we get to that and understand what he was saying, we can reach a place where we can trust him fully in the storms of life, understanding my Father's way may twist and turn, my heart may throb and ache, but in my soul I'm glad I know he maketh no mistake. Friend, I submit to you this morning that God will take care of every need we have in our life. But here's where it gets interesting. Peter, I love Peter. Great example in a lot of ways. Other ways, maybe not so much at times. But God used him in a mighty way. Look at verse 28 and 29. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. He said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. You know, as far as I know, this is the only man that ever, I guess, walked on water apart from Jesus. He did just like Jesus did. He walked on the water. The storm was howling all around him. The waves were beating against the boat. I'm going to tell you, you say what you want to about Peter, but I tell you, he obviously had the faith enough when Jesus told him to come. He knew that was Jesus. He just stepped right on out in the boat. He claimed the promises of the Lord. He wanted to go to Jesus. Friend, sometimes we go through the storms. We just need to step out of the boat and trust God along the way. He wanted to walk on that water. Peter obeyed when he told him to come, did what he said. With all that going on, I'm glad to know that no matter how hard and wild the storms may get, Jesus is still close by and will meet our need. But I'll give you the rest of the story. Peter was walking on water. It's a wonderful thing. But something happened. Peter took his eyes off of Jesus. And the moment he did, he began to sink. And I want you to know today, when we take our eyes off of Jesus, we're going to begin to sink, and we're going to sink, and we're going to sink, and we're going to sink until we look up and see, feel, and touch the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. Say what you will about Peter, but he's the only one that can say, I walked on my storm. I got out of the boat. I walked on the water. God delivered me. But the entire purpose of the storm, even in your life or their life, he was trying to compel them. He was trying to teach them. He was trying to help them to be like him. I'm grateful today for wonderful examples that we have in the world of great Christians in the world, people that live for God. And I think about people, you know, great men like Dr. Lee Robertson and various people that I can think of through the ages. And I think about how they were mighty men of God. But you know what? I want you to understand that what God wants us to do is not be like somebody else. He wants us to be like him. We sing a song to be like Jesus, and that's what God wants us to do. Listen to what he said in 1 Peter 1, verse 6 and 7. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with a fire, might be found unto praise, honor, and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. In 2 Corinthians 1:8, for we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia. We were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of our life. Yet that reminds me that sometimes God overloads our wagon. He overloaded his wagon. Somebody said, well, God will never put more on you than you stand. Here's the way I say it. I believe sometimes God does put more on us than we can stand. But he never puts more on us than he can stand. And friend, we're not to depend on us to get out of the mess. We're to depend upon him. Thank God for those words and remember today who's in control of the storm, who's in control of what's going on. Look at verse 30 and 31. But when he saw the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. Beginning to sink, he cried, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" If we successfully navigate the storms of life ourselves, we deserve no credit for our abilities, because Jesus said, "Without me, ye can do nothing." I think of that great song, "Without him, I can do nothing. Without him, I'd surely fail. Without him, I would be drifting like a ship without a sail." Thirdly and lastly, Jesus works in the storm. Jesus didn't say a word. What did we find? We go read. The Bible said, "And he said unto them, O thou little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" And then in verse 32, "And when they were come into the ship," they being Peter and Jesus, he didn't say anything. He just stepped in the ship, and the wind ceased. I'm glad to know today that God works in the storm. One day he'll do the same for you. One day he's going to, you may be thinking it's never going to end, but it's going to end. There's light at the end of the tunnel. Listen, Jesus, I believe, is coming soon anyway. We sang a while ago, when we all get to heaven, brother, that's going to be a bright day for all of us, isn't it? What a wonderful thought it is. When Jesus stilled the storm, the disciples saw the light of Jesus and knew who he was. They knew that they were in the presence of God. How many times do we come to church and never sense the power and the presence of God? I hope never. Friend, it's my desire that every time we step foot in this place and in this pulpit and preach the Word of God, that we might experience the power and the presence of God in our midst, to know that he's here with us. But notice what else they did, and I love this part. "Then they that were in the ship, they came and worshipped him, saying, Of a truth, thou art the Son of God." They teach us that Jesus is God. He's in control of all the affairs of our life, and when the storms come, they're designed to drive us to our knees. Friend, I'm going to tell you today, we need to quit looking around to solve our problems. We need to start looking up, because that's the only place our problems will ever be solved. I remember as we went to Bill Rice Ranch many times, they always said, and I don't know if I get it right, but it said, basically, don't complain about anything. Don't complain about anything that you have no power to change. And that main thing, they didn't want you complaining about the weather. And we can't do a thing about the weather. And there's not a thing we can do about anything else most of the time. So we just trust God. We don't complain. Here's the secret to make storms more bearable. Don't wait till the storm starts to bow your knee to God. Get a relationship with him before the storm starts. Friend, I can't imagine. And again, don't misunderstand me. If you're going through a storm and you've never come to Jesus, I would invite you this morning to come to him. Put your faith and trust in him and walk with him for the rest of your life. I'd encourage you to do that. But it's a whole lot easier when you know him. When the storm begins, you begin things to happen all around you. The waves were threatening. The wind was contrary. Some people wait till the skies are blue. You know, I've seen people many times. Well, let me just give you this quick illustration. I'm not going to go into it in detail because I've given it here before. But you remember me telling you years ago about a man I knocked on his door, tried to witness to him. He cussed me out, told me he didn't need me, he didn't need anything I had. Don't ever come back. If I need you, I'll call you. 1 week, a man of the church came to me and says, "You remember so-and-so you went to say?" I said, "Yeah." Said, "His son committed suicide. Will you go over there with me tonight?" As a preacher, my flesh inside said, he said if he needed me, he'd call me. But I told the man, I said, I'll be glad to go, but I said, I'm going to stand off. I don't want to make him mad. And I went, and I stood out. They were in the backyard, stood by the ditch. That man in my church went over and talked to him, and he come over and said, he wants to know if you'll preach his son's funeral. And all I'm saying is, here's a man that didn't need me one day or didn't need God one day, but a week later he needed God. And I'm glad the week after the funeral, he trusted in God. His wife got saved. His grandchildren got saved. I buried him, and I could go on with the detail of, man, he dearly loved me after that. But why go through all that? Why not trust him today and serve him the rest of your life? Remember Job? Job went through a storm, didn't he? The Bible said in Job 1, 20-22, then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped and said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I like this, but in all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Friend, you better be careful what you blame God with. You see, God is, the songwriter said, God's too wise to be mistaken. He's too good to be unkind. And when you can't trace his hand, you can always trust his heart. When the storm is raging, it's hard to see the hand of the Lord. It's hard to see the blessings that he has planned. Friend, I could stand here this morning and give you, I could preach for another hour or two and just tell you of things that's happened in my life that I did not understand. But I look back today, and I got greater vision because I know what God's done in my life. Sometimes it's hard to imagine the Lord bringing any good out of what you're going through. I don't know what your nature of your storm is today, but I do know this. God's willing to meet your need. He will hear you, and he will help you. He said, he that comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. Friend, I wish today that God would show up in your life, whether you need to be saved or whether you are saved, and remind you, I got this, and I'm going to take care of you, and I'm going to meet every need that you have in your life. Thank God tonight. What a lesson this morning that we learn from the storm of the disciples that can relate to the storms of our life.